Direct from Fort Meade, Maryland, this is Dinfos Live.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Dinfos Live. I'm Major David J. Murphy, a Dinfos instructor and your host for today's program. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I just want to wish the U.S. Space Force a happy 4th birthday. Semper Supra. Today, we'll be talking all about live streaming, which is an increasingly popular way to transmit information and communicate with relevant publics. We use it here on a monthly basis to execute our show. To talk to us about this important tool and how it can be leveraged to help meet commanders' intent, please welcome to the program two members of the Defense Media Activities Live Operations Team. Honey Schubert. Hello, Honey.
Hi. Program. Thank you.
And Patrick Doran.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, good to meet you, Pat. Have a seat. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we get to know about yourselves and your positions here at DMA, and we, of course, talk about live streaming, I want to let everyone know that Dinfos Live is live for a reason. So, if you have any questions for our guests, please don't hesitate to leave them in the comments down below. Well, guests, thanks for taking time out to be here today. We really appreciate it. Can you first start out by telling us a little about your positions here at DMA and also your history in the military and in public affairs?
Absolutely. First, I want to say thank you so much for having us on the show. We're usually behind the lens, so it's interesting to be in front of it this time.
Absolutely.
So a little bit of history about myself. I started in this career as a combat camera specialist in the Army. And I served 6 years, and I ended up getting stationed at AF in Bavaria in Germany.
Wow.
And that's really where my career in this field took off.
Okay.
I gained a lot of skill sets there, and then when I got out of the Army, I was hired to be a civilian there as a senior producer.
Wow.
And eventually I was promoted to operations manager for AF in Spangdahlem on the other side of Germany.
Okay.
You know, a quick 6-7 hours drive to get to the other side of the country.
Wow.
And I had a great time there. I was there for a couple of years running that station. And then I moved over here to the DMA headquarters at Fort Meade and been on the live operations team since 2016.
Wow.
And just this year I was promoted to the chief of the section, and it's been a pleasure. I have a wonderful team, and in fact, Pat's a member of that team.
All right, great.
So I'm kind of like you, sir. I served in two branches of service. Started out in the Marine Corps like you, and then did 10 years in the Army, and then decided it was time to pull the trigger and retired in 2017. Ended up coming back later that year and got hired on here as an audiovisual production specialist working in the production support realm. So we did a lot of the field productions and ran the camera shop, and did a little bit of the stuff in here in the studio as well. Now I'm a lead audiovisual production specialist, and I'm the manager of the camera shop and our field production shop.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you both for being here. So let's go ahead and start with a very simple baseline question. What is live streaming? Please define that for us.
Sure. It's, it's two words, right? We got live and streaming. So talk about the live piece. Live is real action. It's happening right now. I'm sitting here in the studio with you on Fort Meade as the viewers are watching this. And then the streaming portion of it is sending that video and audio through the internet to get to the point you want it to go. So you put those two together, and here we are today on Dinfos Live.
Okay, great. Now, for those of us or those folks who are out there watching today and thinking, I'd like to do something like live streaming at my location, what are some of the first things that they should consider before, again, making that leap?
They should first have an understanding for what the need is.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you live streaming versus recording it and playing it back later? So you really have to understand what that need is. Who's your audience? Who are you trying to get this message out to? What is the message?
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to have an understanding of your commander's intent or your client, whatever the case may be, what their intent is with the program to determine if you should really be live streaming this.
Mm-hmm.
And then infrastructure obviously also plays a place in all this, and we could talk more about that soon, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you need to look at whether or not you do need to live stream. If it's something you can do over, whether it be like a video conferencing or something like that, you know, it all depends on the information you're trying to share and how ways you're getting that information. Do you want your audience to be engaged and asking questions and answering them on the fly while you're going? Then you probably want to live stream it. Or if you're just going to be sharing a lot of information via like slides or just a plethora of information. a lot of stuff you might want to look at doing like a video conferencing or Teams, you know, realm, you know, all the different stuff you can go out there. So you just got to take a hard look at that and see if it's something that's what you need to do.
Absolutely. Let's dig into that a little bit deeper. So talk to me about when live streaming is the right tactic to use and when it might be the wrong tactic. And, you know, kind of specifically there, what kind of events would you recommend using live streaming for and not using it for?
I mean, one example would be, you know, if you have your commander's got to get out this message now. I mean, there's a lot of, we work in the military realm and there's all different areas, right? And sometimes that message has to get out immediately. And so that may be a time when you want to live stream single camera, get that out immediately. Again, the message will play a part. You know, some messages aren't meant for public consumption. But certainly, like, if you're trying to do a conference and a lot of people are going to be locked, you know, for example, we'll use MS Teams, right? This is a conferencing platform. A lot of people can log in. I think it's 500 is their limit. They're different in various platforms. You have all these people logging in and trying to talk and chime in. You don't, that's not really a live streaming environment. Now, if you minimize that into the five commanders or the five leads talking and your audience is viewing on a link, for example, then that's a more appropriate way to handle that. So not everything is meant for people to be tuned in right this second. Some of that material may need to wait. Another example using that would be some commands have information that's so close hold, but they still need that internal group to all reach it. And so if you're live streaming, somebody accidentally slips up and says something about policy that isn't quite policy yet, for example, that could cause you some problems. So you really have to understand what the message is and who the audience is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's some examples of when we, you know, when live stream really upticked as things were going on. I mean, we just, you know, not too long ago, we were in a pandemic situation. So during that pandemic situation, there was information that needed to get out immediately right away. And because you could leverage live streaming and get that commander could get that information out right away to the people, that's options you might want to use and use that right away. So that's times when you want to really focus in on that live streaming is when, how quick do we got to get that information out? If we need to get it out now, then you can use live streaming to get that information out now.
Okay, great. Well, actually we have a question from a watcher who sent us via email basically asking about funding, right? So what kind of funding is there available for those entities or agencies, whether they're DOD or non-DOD, to actually fund, you know, the equipment we'll be talking about later to do the actual live streaming, right? How does that actual process go when someone wants to request funding to actually get this type of equipment?
There's a couple ways that you can handle getting funding. Of course, it's not easy process, right? But if you don't currently have the funds, there you can put in a UFR, which is an unfunded request. And hopefully you get some backing for that, or you have end of year fallout funds potentially used. The best case is to go talk to your command team in advance and get money portioned off for you specifically to provide support for this. But you really have to sell that to your command. They have to understand, you have to understand the vision, the mission, and so that you can go to your commander and say, sir or ma'am, you know, this is why you want this or why this is important and we need the money to make it happen.
Yeah. And on that, don't just, you know, say, well, we want to do this and this is what we can do, but also explain to them, if we don't do this, this is what could happen from that.
Right.
So give them that, both sides of it, you know, show them what we can do. And then if we don't do it, this is what can also happen if we don't do that.
Yeah.
It helps better make those decisions about how to parse that money out.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you from my own personal experience that those end of year funds are a really key tool by which to get what you need. And also, if that's a tool you're going to leverage, make sure to be ready with knowing exactly what it is you want. Have those research done to know the equipment that you need and be ready to make that purchase when the money does come down, because that's really essential towards getting what you need.
Very much so, because you know at the end of the year, everyone starts scrambling to try and get their little cut of that end of your fallout money.
Yeah.
So if you have all your stuff prepared ahead of time and you put it in, you know, chances that you might get picked are higher because you're ready to go. You're ready to pull that trigger and get what you need.
Another thing that will also help, you know, justify that purchase is getting your commander to be on your side with regard to the buy-in necessary to ensure you can get what you need. So getting that commander buy-in is also critically important, which again ties back to that. Is live streaming important with regard to your commander's intent? Does it meet their mission, vision, and lines of effort or priorities? Okay, great. Well, hopefully we answer that question for you, Lance Chung. Thank you. So let's talk about DMA specifically and how you all do live streaming, because you know you all are pretty much the pinnacle, I think, for many outside organizations in terms of what live streaming is all about. So talk to us about how DMA specifically does live streaming.
We do live streaming in a variety of ways. When you talk about the actual transmission of getting the signal from point A to point B, we mentioned earlier that live streaming is specifically over internet. Mm-hmm. So internet protocol, IP drop is what we often refer it to as, where you are able to partition off a certain amount of space to send it, megabits. We request 10 megabits at a minimum to get that video, because it's such a large file to send through the internet. Here at DMA, we also use Hivision, which is another way to send it over the internet.
Okay.
We also have other devices. We have fibers in place with direct connections. That's more of an infrastructure layer, and it takes a lot of work and money to get there. Cellular bonding is using a bunch of cell cards from different service providers, like AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile, and it combines those cards to give you the best signal possible.
Okay.
So you can also use Wi-Fi is the same way, using cellular bonding. And in those cases, you have to be careful, right? Because if you're in a room with 200 people all on their cell phones, and they're all connected to the same Wi-Fi connection, the same cellular services, then you could experience dropouts or artifacting. And then lastly, we have satellite. So we have satellite trucks, and then we also have satellite dishes that you can set up on the ground, which is similar to what White House uses is satellite dishes.
Okay, great. Talk to me about specifically this show right here that folks are watching. What needs to go into place from an infrastructure perspective for the audience watching this show, you know, to get this image from here in the studio out to them at their, you know, laptop or cell phone or however they're watching it?
So, I mean, here there's a little bit different monster. We have a large infrastructure. So, I mean, to spell myths and people think they're going to run out and build like a big studio like this. So this is, you know, millions of dollars worth of equipment in here.
Absolutely.
So pipe dreams, you're not going to replicate this. There's not a lot of these, you know, within the military, this kind of a setup. But basically here we have, you know, we have a multicam setup here in the studio. So we have five cameras that all feed into a switcher room. So our control room. And that is where the first iteration of this scene goes through. That's where, you know, we have a technical director's switching camera shots, you have directors calling the show, that's where they can bring in graphics, all their stuff, that's where audio gets mixed in with it, and then from there it goes downstairs to our broadcast operations recording group, and that's like the hub, that's like the beating heart of DMA. So that's where everything that comes in and everything goes out, in and out of there. I actually worked there, down there, when I was here active duty at DMA. And that's where we can, you know, we pull in not only just stuff from here in the studio, but we can pull in stuff from anywhere in the world. We get stuff from White House, State Department, both the House and the Senate, numerous different locations, and that's where they do the final checks. That's where they're the ones going live for if it's going to defense.gov or if it's going, you know, going down to DVDs. They're the ones that do the final checks and make sure everything's good to go before it heads out and goes down to DVDs. And DVDs is the next link in that chain, because they're the ones that have the like encoders in place, basically server racks, server computers, that when someone wants to go live to like say a social media or something like that, they go on and create the event and they get a stream key from them. And you take that stream key and give it the DVDs, and then DVDs programs that into their encoder, and it automatically makes that connection, that link, and sends it and goes, shows up live on your social media site.
Right. Now, I think that's an important thing to point out as well, because obviously you've outlined a very extensive series of steps and processes to get this image of us talking right now out to the actual viewer who's watching, but that last piece of that element where we're engaging with DVDs Hub and DVDs.net and getting the imagery out to the actual end user via their social media platform of choice can actually be done at your level, can be done at the unit level. Any command can ask for that support and service from DVIDS Hub. They just need to, again, supply them with the information they need, and they can transmit their signal to DVIDS, and then they can transmit that signal to, again, the various social media platforms that are showcasing the show. So I think that's important to point out.
There are a lot of commands that use it. A lot of the recruit depots use it to stream graduations. DINFOS uses it to stream their graduations. A lot of other commands sometimes we see popping up on DVIDS, like there's a change of command somewhere, and they're out there streaming it with a small portable streaming setup, and they're just using IP and sending it to DVIDS, and DVIDS is making sure it gets to where they need to go for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk to me about some specific events that you've actually covered with live streaming and how those events went.
So we cover all of the combatant commander's change of command. So that's the 4-star over the combatant command. So we've carried all of those change of commands. We've also helped out with military units here and there. Like in the studio, we had Shark Tank, which is put on by the Navy. Wow. And so we helped support that event. It was a 3-day venture. We've been to Aberdeen Proving Grounds. We've been to 8th and I, which is for the evening parades put on by the Marine Corps.
Right.
So we kind of cover a lot of different things, mm-hmm. but our primary customer is the Secretary of Defense, the Office of the Secretary of Defense and Public Affairs, and then the combatant commanders, finally the military services. Mm-hmm. Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, so we've done numerous different ones. Here in the studio, we've had President Obama come in, do a worldwide tube talk.
Oh, okay.
It's another one of those leveraging live streaming to help out because, I mean, we all know when, like, President, SecDef, anyone moves around, it's a lot to move, you know, one person around and his team and security and everything mm-hmm. else. So it's hard for him to go visit all these different locations and the coordination and all that stuff. But one of the things about here, he can come in our studio and he can reach all those same people without having to do all that, all those moving pieces and restrict this, restrict that, and everything like that. So that's one of the things we can do here. But we've also done, you know, smaller events. Like we did one up at Aberdeen Proving Ground. So every year they would have a weapons demonstration. So they would take all the latest and greatest weapons and just take them out in the range and demonstrate them doing their thing. You know, whether shooting main tank gun rounds or mm-hmm. firing off 50 cals, demonstrating all the different vehicles and different stuff the Army uses, yeah. and that they test there at Aberdeen Proving Ground. But they ran into a challenge with coming out of the pandemic. Okay, we used to have thousands upon thousands of people come and view this event live, but right. we can't do that now because of the pandemic. We have to keep people, you know, the amount of people down.
Sure.
So they reached out to us if we could come out and live stream it for them.
Right.
So we sent one of our trucks out there, but we also took as an opportunity to kind of teach them and show them a little bit about live streaming and guide them the right way to get their own live streaming equipment so they don't have to rely on us all the time to do it. Because our mandate is we support SecDef, and what we don't want to have happen is we say, hey, yeah, we can do this, and then all of a sudden a last-minute event pops up, and then we have to say, sorry, we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we do that, we also did that with 8th and I, the Marine Barracks. We discussed with them about how, because they have those parades every Friday during the summer.
Right.
How can we make it so they can stream those every Friday? Because they had huge viewership, huge mm-hmm. audiences
sure.
watching it.
Yeah.
So how can we make that happen every time, but not burning out our resources with people going down there? Because it's, you know, 22-hour day for us when we go down there to set up
right.
for that.
Wow.
So they were installing their own video system to be able to live stream those events every single Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that points to an important reason why we justify live streaming to our commanders and whatnot is that, you know, again, for this show specifically, we're live streaming because we want your questions. You know, we want to be able to be a resource for you all to answer your questions that they might come up. So there's that engagement between us as the show and you as the viewer. But for those events that aren't specifically meant to be one, you know, where you're engaging with the audience is actually engaging with themselves, right? There's that public mm-hmm. discourse mm-hmm. and that connection to being at an event live, right? Being there even though you can't be there. So there's mm-hmm. that connection to the actual event that is stronger, I think, in many ways than seeing it after the fact, right? Mm-hmm. But we'll get back to that when we talk about evaluation a little bit later. Let's talk a little bit about equipment, because I know that's something that many of our audience is very eager to know about in terms of what kind of equipment do I need to, you know, set up a live stream, right? Obviously, there's your basics, like your you know, lights, your cameras, you know, and then of course some planning aspects like scripting and whatnot. But you know, what goes specifically into live streaming from an equipment perspective, and how does the camera choices or other pieces affect that?
There's a lot of factors. I mean, you can live stream using your cell phone and the internet.
Right.
And you can accomplish, you know, getting your message out really quickly.
Sure.
Of course, it can get more complex. You bring in cameras and the switchers. And, you know, as Pat was alluding to earlier about, you know, the studio set and running through the control room. Those are the main things I think that you would need to actually get a live stream on the air. But you have to consider all of the other pieces, the message, the audience size, the intent of the audience,
right,
the planning that goes in advance. There's a lot of pre-planning. I mean, right, really, any live event, you, if especially if you have multiple cameras, you want a couple months to properly plan and to make all of the connections you need to make this happen.
Right.
And equipment-wise, I mean, yeah, you can start out with a cell phone, and you can live stream with a cell phone, depending on what, like, say, Commander just wants to get something out real quick.
Yeah.
You can hold up a cell phone and get it out. I mean, we did it for the promo for this.
That's right.
But, you know, you can start working and looking. Here at DMA, what we did was we took a three-tier approach because, I mean, we're a little different animal when it comes to this stuff. We're higher-end production.
Sure.
But even on our lower end, so tier one, we started with looking at ways we can reduce our footprint and manpower when we're going out in jobs, smaller events that might only be in a small, you know, maybe 20 by 20 room, doesn't have a big, huge live audience like you see some live events, TED Talks and other things at large halls or conference rooms. So we looked at, you know, small switcher PTZ camera type system, something that you can send out just a couple people and set them up. We actually just got a new one in. It's just a small switcher box like this big, allows you to have three different cameras. The cameras themselves are powered over Ethernet lines, so they power over Ethernet, and they also get their video signal, so you don't have to worry about powering it. And it's all controlled from the switcher. You got a little controller. You just pan, tilt, zoom, focus, iris, everything. You can even pre-program in shots onto it. Take in your audio from your house audio, very easy to set up and very inexpensive. Those systems range anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000. So that's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot of money, especially when you got cameras in your studio that could cost that without breaking a sweat. And then for our second tier, we looked at, you know, looking at systems where we have options, we need a little bit more than a small PTZ camera system. Maybe you want to bring graphics or something in for the show, or just a little more complex options we have for. But we wanted something that could still do what our trucks do, but be used in places where we might not be able to get our trucks, or it's a heavier lift because the truck's hooking the cameras in the truck. We got a rubber fiber line from wherever the camera's at, all the way out of the building to the truck and plug it into the side of the truck. And, you know, some shows we go to, we got, you know, multi-thousand foot runs. So how can we make that easier for us? We found a thing called a truck in a box. So it's basically everything you see in a truck minus the satellite, all in a box. And you just roll it in place, open it up, and you got your monitors and your switcher and everything you need to do. And then you go get one of those systems. And then our third tiers are satellite trucks. Because they have that option to go to places and get a satellite lump link where we might not be able to get a good Ethernet drop.
I think it all points to, obviously, the importance of site surveys, right? That's a pretty important factor towards doing a successful live stream, would you say?
100%, yes. Site surveys are very important. So pre-planning is everything to make a successful live stream show. I mean, if you're not having those conversations, making connections, making sure security is good, if you're out in location or remote, can you access the place that you need to access to set up your stuff in advance? What kind of power do they have, especially if you're using lights and things like that? That requires a lot of power, and you can't just pop something in an outlet and expect it not to blow. You know, you have to make connections with our audio visual team because you may not be overseeing that part. That might be contracted out. There's a lot of moving parts. Protocol comes into play, you know, especially with a ceremony. Which direction is the DV going to come in from? Where is he going to stand? Is the color guard there? Is there a band? Do we need a microphone so we can hear them? Does the commander walk around instead of stay behind the podium? Because as soon as he walks off the podium, the live audience can no longer hear him, only the in-house. So there's all these pieces, and a site survey helps you better understand those movements, all those parts, and get you connected with the right people to get the answers you need.
Yeah.
And so we try to do a site visit. You don't want to do it too early, but you don't want to do it too late. So, you know, a week or two prior is probably the sweet ground because things can shift and change, right?
Sure.
So that's why you don't want to go too far out, but you also want to give yourself time to make adjustments,
right,
to get the right people in place that maybe weren't there, things of that nature.
Absolutely. And that's just the site survey. You should already be planning way ahead of time with everything else and how the show's going to go.
Yeah.
Honestly, when it comes to live streaming, the sooner you start working on it, the better.
Yeah absolutely. You know, we've talked about equipment for a bit there, and I got an email question from Kat Petaway Clark, who asks about essentially a list of equipment. Is there any sort of official list of equipment, either, you know, from DOD or from DMA that, you know, they can utilize to just kind of like, okay, I'm going to put this into my ordering system and get this equipment right now?
Unfortunately, there's no such list that I know of that exist, because technology is always changing and growing, and every command is unique.
Mm-hmm.
They have a unique infrastructure. They have unique ways to route requirements and things of that nature. You know, DISA plays a part in that too.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to truly identify this will work for every command, like a blanket statement of equipment. But there are certainly resources and people that you can reach out to, including ourselves. We're more than happy to share information and try to help you stand up your own live streaming services. So that's what I would say as far as, but Pat, do you have any more?
Well, I mean, it's anything with military. You know, a lot of people in the military are used to military as providing the equipment, and it's always standardized. It's only, well, when it comes to the stuff we use, we're using a lot of things they call COTS. Commercial off the shelf.
Okay.
And unfortunately, in the way technology is, it's evolving so fast that if you came out with any list, you know, 6 months or a year down the road, it's probably going to be defunct. They might not make that thing anymore, or they might have come out with a new model or new this, new that. So the best thing you can do is just constantly be researching. And there's tons of different ways you can do that research. You can reach out to the people who make the equipment, and they'll be more than happy to come out and demonstrate. They're, you know, they're trying to sell that equipment, so they're going to come out and bend over backwards to try and show you and everything it's capable and prove that it's the exact stuff you need.
Right.
But you just got to make sure you're looking at it with an open mind, saying, okay, just because this person said it's exactly what I need doesn't necessarily mean that. You hear from everyone first. And then you can go to things like, you know, there's trade shows or things you can go to where you can talk right with the vendors, talk with the people who are making the stuff and learn more about it and try to become an expert in it. And then, you know, then you'll know exactly what you need to get.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, on that same note, I think, you know, beyond equipment, obviously it's personnel, right? So for instance, there needs to be someone monitoring the live chat, right? So, you know, I've got a social media moderator who's looking at our chat because I want to see if there are any questions coming from you, but also you need to be able to stamp out any of those unwanted entities that might want to try and overtake your stream and put out malicious links and whatnot in there. So you have to be able to be mindful of that, because the last thing you want is for your audience to come out and watch your show and then click on a link, and then you know they get directed to a site that they shouldn't be directed to. So those are all things to keep in mind as well.
Absolutely.
When it comes to live streaming, again, for those who maybe have this the setup at their organization or have no setup, you know, at their organization when it comes to live streaming, talk to me about the different levels of live streaming that a unit can establish, you know, from again, from the most basic to mid to high end. What goes into each level? You know, we've touched on, you know, cell phones and whatnot, but kind of break that down for us.
Well, I mean, you start with the most basic is a cell phone. You can go, you can live stream straight from a cell phone right out to social media.
Yeah.
Anyone can do that with cell phones. So that would be your most basic. And then, there's a lot of different levels. Think of it as an onion. You're peeling back all those different layers. There's a lot. There's a lot of different layers in there. Your next step up from that might be taking your cell phone and adding some external inputs into it. You know,
like a microphone.
There's apps like adding a microphone into it. There's apps you can get where you can hook up multiple different cameras, but you're controlling it all from your cell phone. And your cell phone's just the thing that's pushing that signal out and getting it to your social media, right? And then you go from there and you go to, like I was just talking about with that small PTZ switcher, you know, relatively inexpensive. You hook up, plug it in the internet, as long as you have a good upstream, not download. Remember that when it comes to speeds, it's your upstream, it's your upload, 10 megs,
Sure.
not the download. you can go to a system like that, which it wraps it all in one, relatively inexpensive, to multi-million dollar systems.
Yeah. Right.
So, and all in between, there's tons of different stuff. You just need to figure out which one works best for you.
Mm. Right.
And what you're comfortable with using and operating.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. Talking about what you need to get a live stream off the ground, I think it's important that we hit on bandwidth, right, and internet connectivity. So talk to me about the considerations that go into choosing the right method by which to transmit a signal, whether it be hard line or cellular or Wi-Fi. You know, what kind of considerations go into that?
The environment is a huge factor. So if you're trying to use cellular bonding, when we were talking about earlier, or Wi-Fi, and you have a large amount of people in the audience in-house, that's going to disrupt your signal most likely. Also, you know, we're close to Washington, D.C., and there's a lot of signal stoppers, or whatever they're called, because there's so much intelligence communities around us.
Absolutely.
So you have to be aware of those things, depending on where you are.
Sure.
When you talk about using the internet to send, that's usually the safest way.
Right.
If you have your 10 megabits, as we mentioned earlier, of upload speed partitioned off for you. So that means that this is for nobody else. This 10 megs is for me to send this live stream.
Right.
I don't need anybody else jumping in on here because it can disrupt the signal.
Yeah.
And then, of course, satellite, you got to consider weather. I mean, you maybe have a truck in one location in Virginia with a satellite, but the satellite dish is going to is all the way in Hawaii, and Hawaii's got this big thunderstorm going on. Your signal will get disrupted.
Right.
So those are things that you have to consider before you determine which route you want to take.
And speaking of satellite, if I wanted to transmit a live stream from a completely austere location with no hard line or Wi-Fi or cell signal, I would have to use satellite, right?
Satellite would probably be your best bet to get it live, but near live is also an acceptable option most of the time. You're in a space where there's just no way I can get this out real time.
Yeah.
But as soon as it's over, I can move out of this range and all of a sudden I got cell service and it's sending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's certainly ways to do it, but satellite is probably one of the few to get it actually live case.
And there's nothing wrong with live to tape.
No,
near live. I mean, everyone does it in the industry.
Sure.
I mean, I hope not everyone believes that the Tonight Show is you're seeing it live.
What?
You're not.
Why am I now?
It's actually
recorded
a few hours beforehand. But there's reasons why they do that, you know.
Right.
There's still nothing wrong. You're still getting it out in an expedient manner. You're just making sure you're giving the best show, the best product you can if you're just doing it live to tape before you send it out.
Okay. Well, we've got a question from social media, specifically our YouTube channel. William Beaumont asks about technical difficulties that you've seen or encountered when live streaming and how best you solve those problems, right? So again, planning, you can do all the planning in the world, but things still happen. So talk to me about some technical difficulties you've encountered and how you've overcame them.
I'll let him talk about the difficulties and I'll let you out.
Everyone has a plan, right? You heard the saying, everyone has a plan until they're punched in the face, right? So you go out there and everyone, you got a plan. Honestly, I mean, the most problems we always have is audio. Every once in a while might be like transmission issues, satellites, because of weather. I mean, I remember we were down at 8th and I, and we're getting ready. I believe the president, he was actually going to be there. He was the guest of honor at the evening parade.
Yeah.
And, 8:45 start time. Well, 8 o'clock, the skies just opened up and it was pouring rain.
Oh man.
All right. So, there goes your transmission source. But one of the things you make sure you always have a backup, right?
Right.
Always have backups for stuff. And we do the same thing with our mics for audio. We'll have primaries, we'll have backups. So that's one of the best things you can do for when it comes to technical difficulties. But sometimes there's other things, and it falls in the realm of technical difficulties. Honey, we hit on a little bit. Like, you might be live streaming so-and-so, and he might be talking at the podium, or it might be his time to talk, and he just walks away and starts talking wherever, but now your live stream audience isn't getting that audio.
Yeah.
That's the type of things we run into more than anything else. It's never anything real. It's always like an act of God, weather, or someone just not really realizing, oh, it's going out to a live stream audience. I need to make sure I have a mic, so I'm doing that stuff. But you can prepare for a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing real major.
Those redundancies help you out a lot.
Sure.
When we live stream an event for the secretary or anybody else, we usually have two paths. So we're not relying on only satellite or only cellular.
Mm-hmm.
We're relying on satellite and cellular, or satellite and the internet.
Right.
In pretty much most cases, because of the client, the level of client we serve, and our goal is to make sure that we get that product to him and his audience, right?
Right.
And so, and then like he said, with the microphones, we make it there and we usually rely on house audio. House audio is the AV team that probably works on that installation.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of the command related stuff, just, you know, the with the podium and maybe some speakers.
Right.
And so we'll connect to their mixer, but that's a point of failure as well.
Right.
And so we have to make sure we have a backup plan. So if we lose the mixer, then we still have a backup microphone on the podium at least.
Sure.
We can rely on. And so that's what I would say, is to make sure you got a backup plan. And then also we record locally. So you always record what you're trying to send out live. So that way, if it fails, or if you have dropouts or artifacting or all these different things that can happen in a live transmission, you have the actual clip that was recorded in the truck or in the switcher or in the camera.
Yeah.
So that you can always play back later or send as a video on demand or VOD.
No, absolutely. That's a great point. I mean, recording is essential if you want to be able to, you know, swap out what you broadcast live in case there are those issues where either signal dropped or was degraded or whatnot, or audio dropped or was degraded. I can tell you specifically from this show, we've had technical difficulties. We haven't been immune to that. And I think those have mostly come from where, you know, perhaps there was some sort of miscommunication on the end from like DVIDs in terms of, you know, signal not getting, you know, to the correct platform, or on us not giving, you know, the correct information, or the things changing, right? Because you're relying on these social media platforms to, you know, transmit your signal for you. You have to be mindful of the fact that these platforms can also change the way they do things and the protocols and things like that, and the way they might handle a stream key or something. So that's something to also be mindful of, because again, you might do things every month and things are perfectly fine, and then 1 month, somebody, Mark Zuckerberg decided to change how Facebook does something. So now you have to change things on your end. So those are all things to keep in mind and be mindful of and just on top of, and, you know, just really planning and testing, right? Those are big things that come into helping mitigate some of those things. But there can also be factors that you don't even evaluate for, things that come in at the last minute that can also affect the stream. So for instance, someone doesn't talk into the microphone. Was that planned or, you know, anticipated ahead of time? And then, you know, how do you resolve that? You just need to have those after action reviews and, you know, discuss where can we perhaps, you know, mitigate those things in the future. So,
And testing really helps with that. Testing really helps out with that. You should always be testing. Don't wait until you're right before the show to start doing your testing, because that's when stuff always decides to rear. We've all heard of gremlins in this industry.
Of course, absolutely.
Gremlins like to come out, especially like, you know, you might test on a Friday for a Monday show. Well, more than likely, some gremlins are going to pop their head up over that weekend. We all know how computers are.
Right.
You know, the updates are constantly pushed out.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
Updates break things. So always try and test beforehand, you know, just before, also a little farther out, because you might find some things that you can solve and you can fix right away. And along with the testing, just your systems in general, try to keep them as least complicated as possible. The more complicated you make them, the more points of failure adding into it. What's the acronym, KISS? Keep it simple, stupid?
Yes.
So try to keep your stuff as simple as possible, because it just allows for things to go much smoother.
Absolutely. So of course, this is a continuing education show, so our audience loves to continue learning. Mm-hmm. So what are some resources you can recommend to our audience who wants to learn more about how they can, you know, leverage and be those subject matter experts when it comes to live streaming?
LinkedIn Learning is a really great resource where you can learn a lot. Same thing with DINFO's Pavilion. You guys have resources there as well.
Yeah.
And you know, just doing a simple search on any search engine, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can find all kinds of stuff. Pat spends a lot of time doing research.
Yes, I spend a lot of time using my search engine of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Also YouTube, things like that. Just be patient, you know, because you're going to have to wade through a swamp of gaming streaming to find the information, because it's the niche thing. It's the thing to do right now.
Sure.
So search engines, they look at stuff that's getting a lot of hits and looks and everything, and they're going to put those up front. Just scroll down a few more pages and you're going to start seeing stuff about live streaming. But there's tons of stuff out there. Quora, Restream, any search engine you look on there, YouTube, Pavilion has, a good live streaming checklist on there, and they have a good article on there about let's live stream or not. Talks right. about, when you should and when you shouldn't. There's plenty of stuff out there. Also going to, a lot of these trade shows,
sure.
National Association of Broadcasters, you can go out there and you talk to people in industry. You can go to seminars talking about live streaming, and you can learn a lot, and it allows you to network and find other people in the industry and talk to them. And hey, what are some of the challenges you ran into when you're trying to do this, and how did you overcome them? Right. People talk about that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You can go out there and find all those resources. It just takes a little bit of effort going out there and using the World Wide Web to find exactly what you need to answer your questions.
Yeah, I know, like when I'm researching things like equipment, I'll find those influencers on the various social media mm-hmm. platforms, and I will, look at what they've looked at, because they're usually reviewing new equipment, and I'll see like, oh, is this equipment mm-hmm. potentially right for my organization? Also, it's good to know that there are various production facilities throughout the DoD and throughout many bases. Like for instance, last month we were at Conmee Hall doing mm-hmm. our On the Road show, and they had a wonderful live production facility over there. So again, you could be at that base and want to know, like, how do I set up my own? And you can go right there and talk to them and get that, information directly from those folks who are on that base. So lots of great resources to get out there. Now, of course, this wouldn't be a DINFOS program if I didn't mention RPI, which of course is our acronym for Research, Planning, Implementation, and Evaluation. And we've talked about the R, the P, and the I, but we really haven't talked about evaluation at all. So how do you evaluate the success of any given live stream? What metrics or measurements go into determining whether or not a live stream was actually effective?
Well, it starts with the first question that we addressed, right? Mm-hmm. What's the need? What's the intent of
right.
this? So what is your goal? What is the end state of this? All of that should be outlined in advance. So
sure.
in the case of this program, the goal is viewership. You want to grow the viewership so you can educate people, right? And so one of the metrics you may use is the number of viewers, the analytics on the background. Another one may be, it's about, did it reach all of the people under my command, no matter which region they happen to fall in, which country, did they get those messages? And that's verified through your public affairs or, through survey or whatever. But there's a bunch of different ways to measure success. It isn't only dependent on, did you have a dropout? Did I accidentally
right.
take this cut when mm-hmm. I meant to take this other camera shot? It's really about what was the message received mm-hmm. on the other end,
sure.
was this met here?
And just because you did a live stream, and then you go look at your analytics real quick afterwards,
yeah.
and you don't have all those viewers, that's a little too soon. It's not a short game. It's a long game. So
sure.
you should be looking at because people are going to continue to watch it. It's still going to live on out there on social media. And just because they didn't watch it right then and there, people have really short attention spans. So
right.
they only watch like a couple minutes of it, but that doesn't mean they might not go back afterwards
right.
to watch it. Maybe they just didn't have time to watch it right then and there. But there's a lot of things you can leverage in that. And it all comes down to the effects you're trying to cause by live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing something with command information and you're at a base, and just an example, like DUIs were up. So
mm-hmm.
they live the command team decides we want to do a live stream, talk about, the impacts of driving while intoxicated or anything like that.
Sure.
And resources that are available to help you if you're having problems or anything like that. Well, you're not going to know the effects of that a week or two afterwards. You're not
right.
going to know the effects until 6 months down the road, and then you
right.
go look at, we did that live stream, our DUIs on base are down. That's an effect of doing
right.
that live stream. So you need to look at the long game for it, don't just quickly go to the clicks and views right away, because there
right.
might be downloads and things later that you got to take into account.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I was going to add that part of that evaluation on the back end, the Army calls it an AAR, an after action review, right? And so putting down on paper and writing in words, this is what went great, this is what went wrong, and this is what went really wrong, right? And
yeah.
then maybe you can come up with some recommendations, or you write down how you work through this, or whatever the case may be. The point
mm-hmm.
is, next year or in the future, whenever it could be, you're in the same location and have the same mission, that person can look back and go, oh yeah, there was a problem with audio because of X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Let's go ahead and work to overcome that now so we're not faced with the same issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and definitely like those things that went wrong, bring those out. Like everyone, it's not, put on your thick skin. Mm-hmm. All right, we're just trying to improve for the future. Sure. We're not like, absolutely, you know, gonna beat up on you. Oh, you messed up our live stream. No, that's where we're here to learn from it, so we don't make those mistakes in the future. History is the best teacher, right?
Yeah.
So don't go in there with that attitude. Put your thick skin on. You know, shine a light on those dark spots.
Right.
Because that's the best way to, you know, to bring something forward is shine that light on that darkness, and then you can fix that for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we look at evaluating the success of this show, obviously we're looking at likes, views, comments, interactions, engagements, right? Because ultimately, you know, this show, the lifeblood of it, are the questions we get from you, the audience members. So when we see those questions and that engagement, you know, that's really a big indicator of whether or not we're being successful in terms of providing you all with a resource that can hopefully help in enhancing your continuing education opportunities.
I got one more thing to add on that.
Please.
Especially for, because we're talking about live streaming, so we're talking to mainly people who are going to be live streaming, who are going to be running the live streams. Don't be overly critical on yourself.
Yeah.
If there's a failure or anything like that, just learn from it and move on. Because we work in the field. We mm-hmm. know how we tend to be a little overly critical of ourselves with it.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Use it as a learning experience and move on, and just make it so you can make the best next one better.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we also look at, again, that long tail, right? Because we know only a fraction of our audience watches the show live because, of course, obligations, right? But we know that there are a lot of viewers that come in after the fact and will watch the recorded version. And, you know, again, there's still that opportunity for engagement, whether it's, again, live at this time or after the fact, because, you know, we'll go in there, we'll look at the comments. You might see some questions you can answer. So, again, a lot of different ways to evaluate success. But, you know, good to make sure to think about that and consider it before you even decide to execute on a live streaming program. How are you going to evaluate success? What are those metrics that are most important to you and your commander to determine if you're meeting those needs and getting those lines of efforts accomplished?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end of this month's program. Before we say goodbye to you all, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would just like to say that, first of all, thank you again for having us on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here.
I think that we touched on a lot of things here, you know. But if you're looking to do a live stream, start with making sure you have a point person, as we call them here, our producer.
Okay.
Who kind of has the oversight over the whole program and understands all the moving parts. That person's very, very important to make sure this is successful. And then doing those things we already talked about. The site survey, the testing of equipment, you know, understanding the commander's intent, that should be number one.
Yeah.
And then after the fact, you know, doing those evaluations and those AARs. So all of these aspects we're touching on here are very important. So it's important to look at the whole picture.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we're a resource as far as information and trying to help you figure out how to get your footing. So, you know, we're totally cool with you reaching out to us and asking some questions. We're here for you. So.
All right. Great.
Yeah, please reach out. I mean, you can find us on Global. I'm pretty sure they stuck our lower third. Just use that wonderful little slider and go back and see our name and look us up on Global. Shoot us an email. I promise you, if we don't know the answer, we know someone who will have the answer and we can get you to the right person.
All right, great. We'll make sure to put any resources we have in our show notes. But that is our show for this month. Remember, if you'd prefer to listen to this show rather than watch it, know that DINFOS Live is also a podcast, and you can find it on your podcatcher of choice. Just search for DINFOS Live. Well, join us next month, actually next year, I should say, 2024, on January 31st at 2 p.m. Eastern, where we'll be talking all about narratives, themes, messages, and talking points. Well, for everyone at DINFOS and, of course, the Defense Media Activity, I'm Major David J. Murphy. I want to wish you all a safe and joyous holiday, as well as a truly happy new year. See you later, everybody. Bye-bye. Well, there we go. Another show in the can.